This morning we talked about how the Lord has shown the importance of a church showing forth love, and that, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul brings it about just very clear that we can have a lot of talents, we can have a lot of gifts, but if we don't love people, we're really nothing. There's another thing that the Lord has brought to my attention, that as a church is something that we all possess, and if used in the right manner, can be a wonderful thing, but also can be very deadly if it's not. So just looking at this in the manner of just always keeping in mind how powerful, first of all, how powerful love is. You can affect a lot of people if you love them. Secondly, tonight, just want to look at this, at how powerful in the Bible. Let's read this and we'll get into it. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be, that the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Let's pray. Fathers, we come before you this evening, and Lord, we do just thank you for all that you have done. Lord, and the answer to prayer, and as we've been praying for Miss Heather and the good news we got this morning, and God, just the blessedness of just how she's already at home, and I just thank you for that, God. We thank you for how you've blessed Davy and his wife and little girl, God, and just the answer to prayer there in his life, and I pray that you continue to give him strength and wisdom moving forward in his life, that we as a church would maintain a place where we can be of help, especially of those trying to grow and trying to be more like you in their lives each and every day. Help us to love one another like we ought, God. Lord, and you gave us such a great picture of how to do that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all. Lord, I ask you tonight that you would give us clarity of thought and of speech. Lord, you know exactly the words you would have me to speak tonight, and I just ask you to help me. I yield myself to you, and Lord, just take and use your word, and I pray your people would be open. I pray that they would receive the Word of God and not just hear it, but they would apply it to their lives, God, and that we would use this as we move forward to minister to those people that will come into this place. God, we thank you for our young people downstairs. I pray for those that are dealing with them, the teenagers and the young adults that are dealing with them downstairs tonight. Lord, I know that in their little hearts there's some that need to be saved by the grace of God. And I know this is a way that, Lord, they hear the stories of the Bible and they hear the stories of Jesus. And God, it's our intent and our prayer that, Lord, at the earliest age possible, they'd come to know you as Savior. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them downstairs and help them. Lord, we thank you for them. Thank you for the people that have come. Pray that you'd bless us tonight, God. Just be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I was saying, you know, the power of love is something you really can't put a number to it. You can't really explain it. But love is, according to the Word of God, that is something God commanded us to do. But the reason He commanded us to do it is because it is truly the power that He has given to us. If we want to make a difference in those around us, love them. And we see the power of that love and how if we don't have it, we're basically nothing. And tonight we're going to look at this member that we've talked about. And we've talked about this before when we've talked about marriage. But this is in general for a church setting as well. I've seen it happen many times. And like I said, I've just tried to learn everything I can of what not to do a lot of times. When you see and hear things that happen, and it's a terrible thing, not only is, as we talked about in marriage, the divorce rate that is just a terrible thing, but also how many churches are split right down the middle and how many churches are blown apart and there's splits and splitters and spurts and spouts all over the place. And I guarantee you, you trace it all back. It started with that. Am I right? It starts right here. And so tonight the Lord has directed me just to remind us again, you know, moving forward as a church, that in a verse that I know I've used here, I want to read it again tonight. Over in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 20 says, actually let's back up to verse 19. The Bible says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Okay? "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." One of the things we've all have to remember, not just in our relationships one with another, But in relationships all around us, and in speaking tonight of basically the church, is understanding that every time your mouth opens, you have the power to kill something or to give something life. Is that not what the Bible says? There is the power of the tongue is death and life. You have the power in your tongue to kill your relationship at home very quickly. Amen? And we have the power, every one of us has the power, every time we open our mouths, to give life or to give death. And just in a setting of the church, in a setting where there has to be communication for things to work, I believe it does come from, if we are truly loving people, and we truly are loving them like the Lord loved us, I believe there will be a gate and a guard. And, you know, the Lord gave us two gates right here to keep, you know, to close the tongue. He gave us some sense about us, and we need to make sure that we're evaluating what we're going to say before we allow it to come out, because it can be so damaging if we're not careful. And we need to just, I think, the seriousness of how powerful the tongue is. I mean, do you really ever think about how powerful your words are? And it can be in a good way, but it can also be in a bad way. And just remembering these words, death and life are in the power of the tongue. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Have you ever tried to win somebody back that somebody offended maybe years ago? It is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. That's how powerful our words are. So being very careful in how we say what we say. Now, I'm not saying that that should make us to where we don't want to talk to anybody because we're afraid of what we're going to say. But I think the motivation in your heart and in your mind, you know, because out of the heart, it's going to come. Is what the Bible tells us in the Gospels. The Lord says, you know, out of the mouth, the heart's going to speak. You know, it's going to come out. And so making sure the intents of your heart are right. That's why in James he talks about bitterness and envy and strife be put away from you. And let's go back there because I wanted to show you this before we move forward. In verse number 14 says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." What's he saying there? If you have bitter envying in your heart and strife in your heart towards another individual, you can lie to yourself and say that it's no big deal. But the truth, he said, lie not against the truth. What is the truth? That wisdom descendeth not from, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So in my mind, what he's telling us is where there's envying and strife and bitterness, there's confusion in every evil work. There's no good work going to ever come out of somebody having strife and bitterness in their heart. Is that Bible? So it's very important for us to make sure our relationships are proper in the house of God. And this is just, I'm not saying that I believe something has happened and we need to deal with it. I'm just saying we just need to caution and beware as we move forward how powerful this is. Because one thing one person says can blow something wide open. And the reason I can say that, I've been there. I was involved in a church on staff. We're running 600 and something people. And I'm telling you, just like that, because the words of anger, I had to break up people in the middle of the aisles from punching each other. Just like that. I've seen it with my eyes. That's why I'm cautioning. We've all got to be careful. It's powerful. It's very powerful. So it's something that it comes from what's in here. So if there is something that we have aught with, that's why it's so important to keep your heart clear one with another. Amen? Even if you feel like you're right. Even if you might know you're right. Making sure your heart is clear before God. Because the Bible says the only thing that's going to come out of bitter envying and strife is confusion and every evil work. The devil can work with strife and envy. And he will. So just being careful. Verse 17 says this, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So when we begin to say something, we need to make sure that our hearts, it's a pure, it's your heart's pure about it. Your relation, the things that you want to say are peaceable, gentle, and that you're easily entreated yourself. Now, I used not to be as easily entreated. My wife can sit here and vouch for this. When I was younger, I was not easily entreated, and God had to help me with that. There's a lot of people. What does that mean? Ben, how easy is it for your wife to sit down and tell you something she thinks you might need to work on? Amen. Is she kind of like, Now she might just come right out and tell you. I don't know. I don't know how it is at your house. But are you easily entreated? Another thing, how easily entreated are you with your children? How easy it for them to get your company, sit down and have a conversation with you, and they have all of you. That's something I had to learn. But that's how it needs to be when we think about the church and think about the wisdom that's from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated by other people. We need to be easily entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. There's another big one, and without hypocrisy, without acting like you are somebody you're not. You know, so just study, you know, that verse alone in verse number 17, remembering what the wisdom from above is in conversation in our church realm, and understanding it all is going to come from here to be pure and gentle and all these things. It's going to help when we open our mouths. And it's all about preparation. If I come into the house of God and, man, we're prepared to receive the Word of God, we're prepared to watch people as they come in, how can I help this person, how can I do this? And if we're doing that and our heart is pure towards people, but I guarantee if you've talked about somebody all the way from church and you've talked about them all week and you come back to church, the devil can use that. And we have to be the ones to fight that off. Now, I'm not saying you might have a little, you know, but do something with it. Get it right. I mean, if it's something they've done to you, let's get it straight. Amen. Hallelujah. Our tongue is very powerful. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So in verse 10 he says, For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. That's like we need to go after peace. That word ensue, that means that we go after it. We do everything we can, as the Bible says, to all that is within us to live peaceably with all men. That means that I am coming in here and I am going after peace. I'm not coming in here to start a fight. Because some of us by nature like to keep things rolling. We just do. Amen? Are you ensuing peace when you go home at night after work? Or do you like to keep things stirred up? Why ain't dinner ready, hon? Been coming home same time for years. What are you doing? You're not ensuing peace. That's not in your heart. It's not in your mind. Or else you would have come in with a whole lot more compassionate approach. Again, you're speaking death to a relationship, not life. We come into the house of God. Are we ensuing peace? All of us know that there are a lot of different personalities. Brother Andrew said, man, there is such a variety here. What a blessing. I mean, you look around and what God has done for individuals and the backgrounds. I mean, we've got so many different backgrounds from people who come from here and done this, that. I mean, it's just such a blessing. But with that also comes a variety of personalities and a variety of opinions. Right? We got every flavor in the box. And I'm thankful for that. Amen? I'm glad we're not all one flavor. But we've all got to understand, just like all of us have noses, we all have opinions. But what is my motivation? Is my motivation peace? Or is my motivation to get my point across? And approaching church, I just want us all to keep that in mind and in heart as we move forward and as we touch and help people, that the tongue is so powerful. I mean, how many of you in here, I know there's some fellas like to shoot guns. There's probably some girls in here that like shooting, and you understand guns. But what is one of the first things, if you're ever shown a gun, or maybe your dad or taught you as a child, what is the first thing you teach, like grandchildren, about a gun? Right. Safety. Safety. Why? Why have I always taken, and I like, you know, my children hunt and they do all that. But one of the biggest things I do, and I reiterate it, and I try to reiterate it all the time, it's safety. Why? Because that gun, when it's loaded, has the power to hurt somebody, right? So we take extra care. We should take extra care to train them properly how to use that weapon, right? Because in the same sense, it can also put meat in the freezer. Amen? But we will train and we get safe all about that. But a lot of times, we don't train ourselves that this is more deadly than a pistol. I got the power of life. I have the ability. You know what? I could... Not that it's in my heart, and that's why I wouldn't ever say it to you. But my speech, I could ruin our relationship in less than 5 minutes. I mean, we have that ability, don't we? We need to make sure with your children, with us, I mean, we have to watch ourselves probably more than anybody. What we say affects our children. Amen? What we say, and we all deal with it because we all have opinions about everybody, and we've got to be careful because those things breed into our children, and they might carry it for years, and then they get old enough to start making decisions, and then it'll just... It'll all come out how mommy and daddy felt about you for so many years. How do you know, preacher? I've seen it, and I've heard it. And it's just amazing. So we need to be careful how our speech is. If we want to love life, see good days, refrain your tongue from evil. Ensue peace. Amen. Matthew chapter number 12 tells us, and I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but you could go there and read Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, down through the next few verses. It talks about how every one of us is going to give account of everything we say. Every word will give account. Every word. So we got to be careful. That also means He's keeping a record. Amen? Now, I'm not saying He can't forgive you. If you go to somebody and say, hey, I said something I shouldn't have said. Please forgive me. I've asked the Lord to forgive me. You know what? That's under the blood. But He said every idle word. That is a word that you have spoken. You don't care. how it hit and how it landed and how somebody feels about it. Because there's a lot of people that are like that. I don't care how they think. I don't care how they feel. You don't love them then. Because if you love somebody, you do care how they feel. I mean, I care a whole lot about how she feels and how my children feel and how I even care how my mother-in-law feels. Amen. She's here tonight. We've been friends a long time. But just carrying that mentality of speech into church and having the understanding of how powerful that is. Now, I know I've spoken more negatively, but also on another note, I can come in here and I can speak life into a lot of people within the first 5 minutes of me walking in the door. Man, it is so good to see you today, brother. Now, you'll know if I'm a hypocrite about it. There's some people that can pull that off pretty good. But in my heart, I do. I love every one of y'all. And I'm glad when y'all come and sit here and you fellowship. And it's just a blessing. But do you realize that you can speak life into somebody? You can give them joy and energy as you come into this house and encourage people and motivate people. I mean, like all those little ones that ran downstairs. You might not think they listen and watch and care. Do you realize how many times my little children have come to me when older people acknowledge them or say something to them? Man, it is like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you are like heroes to them. And don't ever forget that. These little people, you might think they're running around, don't even know you're here. But let me tell you something. They look up to you. They really do. They even look up to Brother Alex. I mean, that's no, I'm just kidding. No, it's serious. It's a big thing. It really is. You know, just how they, and so the reason I'm saying that is, if he said something in a negative way, in the wrong attitude, in the wrong heart to them, you talk about powerful. Right? Do you realize how powerful I realize? These little guys will run up and, you know, they're starting, some of them are starting to open up and talk to me a little bit, and I talk to them, try to interact. Do you realize how powerful my words would be with them? And how careful I have to be? Okay, not just here, but even out in public or whenever. I mean, one little word can just, it's so powerful. So we've got to be careful how we approach and how we speak. Another verse in Proverbs says, and I'll have to paraphrase because I might not, it may be quoted correctly, but even a fool is counted wise when he holdeth his peace. Amen. And sometimes it's better, you know, as the old saying goes, as my grandma used to always say, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Amen? Right. Amen? She used to say that all the time. Why did she have to say it? Because me and my brothers didn't always say nice things to each other. Amen? If you got siblings, you know what I'm talking about. But just having that understanding of how effective it is. A couple more passages and I'll be through. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Everybody still with me tonight? I know this may seem elementary, but I just feel it's so important. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Don't forgive how you want to forgive and on your level. Did Jesus forgive you of all your sins? Yeah, He did. So you know what? That gives me no excuse. If you ask to forgive, I should forgive you even before you ask forgiveness. It's just the way I try to live. Even if you don't ask for forgiveness, I've already forgiven you. Because if not, I'll harbor that. Amen? It's a dangerous thing. Colossians chapter number 4. We'll just start in verse 1. Colossians 4, it says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. This carries a couple things that I think all of us, it would help all of us. The first thing, let your speech be always with grace. What does that mean? Okay? As the Lord has shown His grace to me, He has taught me what grace is. Grace is He's given me things that I don't deserve. Right? He's given me a lot of things. I don't deserve His love. I don't deserve His mercy. I don't deserve any of it. When my speech is all be always with grace, I believe that we should be in our speech, be thinking about the betterment of the individual we're giving it to, even if they don't deserve it. Why would He use the word grace if He didn't want you speaking something that maybe they don't even deserve? Because that's what grace is, right? What does that mean? Well, you know what? Maybe somebody doesn't deserve for you to walk up. Maybe they've been snubbing you at church. Maybe they've been acting a little funny. But you know what? Let it be always with grace. Walk up and just, you know how much, yeah, man, I love you. Just in a true heart, but let it be with grace. Seasoned with salt. Do it gracefully. There are ways you can salt things. What does that mean? You can put a little salt on it to help somebody with wisdom. Amen? If somebody knows you love them, you can put a little salt on that conversation to kind of help them in a way, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Amen? But if you're doing it in the right heart of grace, He says you can season it with salt. And then look at what He says, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I believe that we ought to be students of how we can respond to those around us, to every situation and every relationship that we have. We ought to be a student of how we can communicate and be better communicators. Okay? I have learned in almost 22 years of marriage a couple phrases I don't say. And it's not because they're bad phrases. It's not a bad phrase. But I have learned my wife, okay? And it does not help the situation. I have learned how to answer. we ought to be learning each other. I've been here 7.5 years. I'm starting to learn. I believe I'm getting to know some of y'all better. Some of you I know better than others. And some of you probably don't want to know me any better, but it's okay. No, just kidding. But I know how to talk to some of you and how I can't talk to other people. Now, me and Brother Drew, we can cut up and fool around, and I can say things to him that wouldn't offend him. But I might say it to somebody else, and they take it the wrong way. That's what he's talking about. You need to know how to answer everybody. You need to know how, but that's again, as he's told us men to deal with our wives according to knowledge, how can we expect to be good communicators at church if we are not knowledgeable of the people we're dealing with? That makes sense? I got to deal with children differently than I can deal with y'all. Is that coming through? So knowing, that's why it's good to fellowship and get to know people. That assembling of yourselves one with another. So we know how to communicate better. So we know how to respond one to another and how to answer another. And if we're going to minister to people, if you get to know them well enough and they know that you love them, there are some people in this church I can pretty much look at with all the love in my heart and tell you the truth, even if it might hurt, but you'll accept it because you know how much I love you. Does that make sense? And you will be able to do the same thing as God allows you to minister to other people. You may at some times have to be a little salty. But if it's given with grace and just love, but knowing how, you know, because it's with, I think everybody has a child you're afraid when they open their mouth in public. Did you ever have one of those, Brother Greg? The one that you're just like, oh my. Some of them just, it takes them a little longer to develop a filter or something. I don't know. But you have to train and just teach the knowledge of knowing when to say things and when not to say things and when not to talk about certain things. And, you know, we as adults need to have the same understanding with certain people that we deal with. We need to know. There are some people in this building that are more sensitive than other people. There are some people in this building that if you don't cut up with them every now and then, they might start feeling like you don't like them anymore or something. You know what I mean? Just learning everybody's personality and knowing. Men, you know, I'm not preaching on marriage tonight, but that's a huge thing when you deal with your wife after knowledge. A lot of it is just how you respond to situations. I mean, how you respond to a situation can make it great or make it not great. Just in a simple response. Same thing in a church. Knowing how to say, what we can say, knowing the people we're dealing with. Just, I believe these are things, and this is just something the Lord laid on my heart. I was going to start something else. What I want to do when we get back from taking some rest and I told her we may come back more tired than we went, but it'll be a good tired. Amen. No, we're going to get some rest. But when we come back, I believe the Lord's going to let me start dealing with like the vision that we gave forth and start putting the nuts and bolts together of, okay, this is the big picture, but here's the nuts and bolts of how I believe the Lord's going to bring it all to pass. So you pray the Lord will, if he wants me to begin that, I believe he's putting that together in my heart to just kind of move forward. I've already had people coming up and just telling me how they want to help. And, you know, that's a blessing. Amen. That's what it's going to take. Just be in prayer for us. But just remember, as we said this morning, we will not affect anybody if we don't love them. And tonight, just remember, every time those pearly whites open, remember, it's powerful. Amen. You know, you can tell you men, you can turn your wife into butter, or you can turn her into something else. It's all in what you say and how you say it. Same thing happens at church. So prepare ourselves, and when we come in here, to love people, how I communicate with people, those two things are huge. Those two things are key in all the ministries that God is going to have us be a part of. You might think, well, I'm not talented, I'm not educated. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. He didn't say if you can quote the Gospels front and back. Not that you shouldn't know the Scriptures and study them, study to show yourself approved. But he said, by this shall all men know, if you have love one for another. You got to be able, if you want to minister, and that's something the Lord's put, I mean, as I look for people that can help, if you don't love people, I don't want you helping. I'm just going to be plain and simple. If you don't have that air about you that you have compassion and love people, you know what I'm saying? No. I think we can all get there. But loving people is the key to ministry. Having the ability to know what to say, when to say, how to say, that's a big thing as well. So these are two key elements in moving forward and how the Lord's going to use us. Amen? And that's just what He put on my heart to say tonight. Amen. I'm glad you came tonight. Amen. I hope you're glad you came. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Praying for those that are not well. It's good to see Miss McIntosh this morning. What a blessing. She's just keeps on coming. Amen. Be praying for her. You can tell she's not feeling the greatest. So let's pray the Lord will help her. And these last, this weather and everything, I think, doesn't help her as well. But just pray the Lord will bless her and help her. Amen. Pray for Miss Heather as God continues to touch her. What a blessing to hear the results there. Brother Ayers, if you would dismiss us.